This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. In his final State of the Union address, President Obama made a case for fixing America's broken politics.
Even though he declared the State of the Union is strong, President Obama said there's too much partisan divide and cynicism, and that trust must be rebuilt.
It will only happen if we can have rational, constructive debates. It will only happen if we fix our politics.
Unlike past years, the president didn't offer a set of specific proposals.
That's White House correspondent Greg Clutch and South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley delivering the official GOP response to the president's speech.
Governor Haley didn't shy away from one of the most divisive issues in the nation and in the current presidential race, immigration.
I am the proud daughter of Indian immigrants who reminded my brothers, my sister, and me every day how blessed we were to live in this country.
And the governor said how America treats immigrants is no small matter.
Today, we live in a time of threats like few others in recent memory. During anxious times, it can be tempting to follow the siren call of the angriest voices.
But Haley said while immigrants must be welcomed, illegal immigration cannot be tolerated.
Correspondent Linda Kenyon, political analyst Gary Bauer says the president's reliance on executive orders contradicts his speech's call for greater legislative cooperation.
It was in its own way a very political speech, and of course it's totally understandable why he wouldn't give a list of specific legislative proposals, because he's already shown in the last 7 years that he doesn't think he really needs the Congress to legislate.
Bauer is president of conservative nonprofit organization American Values, the son of evangelist Billy Graham, delivering a message of admonition.
America is being stripped of its biblical heritage and God-inspired foundations.
Graham spoke yesterday in Florida. He will repeat many of those admonitions today in front of Louisiana's Capitol hours before President Obama arrives. More of these stories from townhall.com.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples. Make more happen. And right now, buy any HP ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online in retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store staples.com for details.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper in credit card debt? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management will consolidate your accounts and work with your creditors. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360. 1-800-758-5360.
Iranian state television reporting that all 10 U.S. sailors detained by Iran after entering its territorial waters have now been released. The BBC's Jonathan Marcus has more.
General Ali Fadavi, the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard naval forces, had earlier made it clear that the Iranians now accepted that the boats had entered their waters by mistake due to a failed navigational system. The U.S., he said, had apologized. The timing of this incident was unfortunate. At the end of this week, the process of lifting sanctions imposed against Iran due to its nuclear activities will get underway.
That is BBC Jonathan Marcus reporting. Well, there's one bright spot in China's struggling economy right now, and it all starts with an American company, Starbucks. It expects China to eventually overtake the U.S., in fact, as the coffee chain's largest overall market. The Seattle company says it's on track to open 500 stores in China this year. It expects to have a total of 3,400 stores in China up and running by 2019. Breaking news at townhall.com. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump says he loves Iowa and expects to win the caucuses.
We've really hit a note with the evangelicals. We've hit a note with the Tea Party and with just the people of Iowa. I'm all over the place. I like it. I love it. Maybe I'll just I think I'm going to buy a farm and settle down over here.
New survey of likely voters, meanwhile, by the Washington-based Mercury Analytics Group says 20% of self-identified Democrats suggest they would consider voting for Trump should he pick up the GOP nomination. Cheering in Los Angeles by Rams fans now that the NFL owners have allowed the Rams to move to a new stadium just outside of Los Angeles. It's not very common that teams have done that. In fact, there's been no NFL football in Los Angeles now for more than 20 years. It is bad news, though, for for Rams fans elsewhere, but people in the Los Angeles area are cheering the decision. More details at townhall.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. You want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We're on every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 Eastern right here on this radio network, GCN. With us right now, Jenny Beth Martin. She is the president and co-founder of Tea Party Patriots. And Jenny Beth, welcome to Bill Martinez. Good to have you back. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Well, I wanted you to comment on the big headline here about Obama's executive action. You say it's the first salvo in his final year assault on our constitutional system of government.
Yes, I think that what we saw this past week is President Obama ringing in the new year. He does not intend to be a lame duck president. Instead, he intends to exercise as much authority and power as he possibly can, even if it's outside the bounds of what he constitutionally should be doing.
Exactly. I mean, this is, let's pick up the cell phone and the pen, executive order, and unilaterally restricting America's Second Amendment rights. I got to tell you, Jenny Beth, I am surprised that we're not hearing more from seniors and veterans the way this order seems to be targeted, not towards the criminals, but to law-abiding citizens.
It's targeted towards law-abiding citizens. So when you look back at President Obama's administration, we see that the people who've been prosecuted for gun crime, is the number of people who've been prosecuted is down by 35%. So they're not even prosecuting the laws that are already on the books, and then they want to go after people who already obey the law when it comes to exercising their Second Amendment rights.
I don't understand his logic. I mean, he's one to say, as he said at the CNN town hall meeting this week, that you know, he's a constitutional authority, that he has taught constitutional law, and you wonder which constitution.
Well, it's certainly his interpretation of the Constitution is not what is written in the Constitution. It's not original intent, and so I have no idea exactly what he's thinking when he says that. It's that he wants to make an excuse that sounds okay to make it sound like he knows what he's doing, and we should just trust him. Trust me, I'm a constitutional lawyer. I can do whatever I want.
Right. And clearly he is ignoring the wishes and the loud voices of Congress, the wishes of the American people, by acting on his own. I mean, for somebody who says that he's concerned about his legacy, makes you wonder what kind of legacy is really going to be left behind here.
Well, I think that we know what kind of legacy it's going to be. It's going to be one where the economy hasn't really grown. It's been fairly stagnant. It's one where the government has grown and grown and grown, and where the executive branch has exerted more and more power than even it's intended to do.
Well, you know, and my question, which is what I hear across America, Jenny Beth, you probably hear the same thing, is America saying, where's our Congress? Where's our elected officials, you know, pushing back on this empirical presidency?
And I think that that's part of the reason why, if we look at recent polling regarding Speaker Ryan, in the about 8 weeks since he became Speaker, his favorabilities have gone down, his unfavorabilities have gone up, because Congress isn't fighting the president. When people went to vote in 2014, especially people in the Tea Party movement, they were voting to give the Senate the control of the Senate to Republicans because they expected the Senate to stand up to the president in the last 2 years of his term. We haven't seen that. We hear them say they're going to, but we haven't seen the actions to actually do it.
Well, and this is what's made conservatives in the Republican caucus nervous, because they see, you know, the way the voters are looking at it and saying, look, we entrusted you guys and look what's happened. What victories do we have? In a conversation that we had with Newt Gingrich about a year ago, you know, right after the elections, we said, well, is there some low hanging fruit? Is there something in the first 100 days that would encourage the voters, you know, for their vote and their confidence in the Republican Party? And we've gotten just the opposite.
We've gotten just the opposite. They funded President Obama's executive action regarding amnesty and immigration. Not amnesty so much as allowing people who are here illegally to continue to be here illegally in our country. And they have set the stage to fund this year without any checks and balances happening at all through the omnibus that just passed in December. And so it makes us wonder, what are they going to do? They talk about wanting to do bold things, but it's just a lot of hot air. I think at least that's what I hear, and I think a lot of people around the country hear the same.
Well, we've been saying for a long time, and Jenny Beth, you've been at the vanguard of this, just in terms of fiscal responsibility. You know, we've got to stop the spending, as you made mention of the $1.1 trillion omnibus bill that just got passed. This is ridiculous. I mean, we're looking at $21 trillion probably by the time, if we're lucky, by the time this president exits stage left. And we're looking to Republicans and guys even like Paul Ryan, who knew so much about the budget that could help us, but yet he just signed off on a $1.1 trillion spending bill.
I think that it is a matter of will more than anything else. And so far, Congress and the president, especially the president, have not had the will to address this problem. The solution to the problem is so simple. They just need to stop. They could stop spending, reduce spending, by one penny out of every dollar. One penny out of every dollar. And if they did that every year for 5 years, we'd have a balanced budget. That will require discipline. It will require making some cuts. But we're not talking about massive, extravagant cuts. We're talking about 1%, one penny out of every dollar. And they're not even willing to do that. And I think that the fact that they're unwilling to do even that is in large part why Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are doing so well in the polls right now. The outsider candidates, the people who are perceived as outsiders, they're the ones we're looking to going, well, you have the will to do something. Can you get Congress to act better?
Exactly. Well, and it's so frustrating when households across America have been taking 10, 15, even larger percentage cuts across the board every year, and then we have a government that refuses to consider reality. They're in some sort of alternate universe that, you know, we the taxpayers are going, wait a minute, where's this money coming from? You guys continue to spend. There's no discipline. I mean, Jenny Beth, you imagine if we stop the government every year, if we just stop the government on September the 1st, okay, we just said, okay, you're not going to spend anything, whatever, wherever the gate slams on September the 1st or whatever day, it might have to be an arbitrary date because these guys know how to work the system, because you know what happens between September, the end, you know, the 1st of September and the end of September, that's when things get real stupid in the government. They've got to vacate all their budgets and they're sitting there buying, you know, if it's curtains or whatever silly thing or another desk for an incredible amount of money because they've got to empty out the coffers. But could you imagine how much money we'd save if we just stopped, you know, on September 1st, no more spending. We're going to put a freeze on the government for 30 days. Could you imagine how much money we could save?
It would be phenomenal, and it would be shocking how much. And that's really the point, isn't it? It isn't that it's that difficult to figure out how to do this. we can figure out how to do this. And then the elected officials get to Congress and they say to the voters, oh, you don't really understand. It's very complicated. We have to do this omnibus bill or that appropriation, so we have to meet this little change or that change. And we just sit there looking at it going, if we have to do it in our own houses and in our own businesses, you need to do the same with our tax dollars that we work very hard for and that get sent to Washington.
And it really is that simple. It's not all that complex. Jenny Beth Martin, president, co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots. Thank you, Jenny Beth, for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generic.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presence inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
America's favorite Mexican, Bill Martinez
live.
They can't take that from me.
Where he comes up with this, you know, go figure, huh? Hey, it's 20 minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. This is Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, which we air Monday through Friday, 9 to 11 Eastern, right here on this SDG radio network, BillMartinezLive.com. That's where you want to go. You know, when you think about all the New Year's resolutions that are before us, you know, I think probably, you know, this has to be the number one resolution. That is that I'm going to do something about my weight. This year, I'm going to do something about my weight. And the sad truth is New Year's resolutions to lose weight often don't work. Americans seem to have tried it all, and at no small expense either. And there's a new online survey that finds that obese or overweight adults who made New Year's resolutions to lose weight reported that they've been unsuccessful at their attempts an average of six times. I mean, you know, the thing is we know that we need to lose weight, but we keep on trying. And, you know, so if you've been doing this a number of years, understand that the average is six times. And many of us have spent money on a over-the-counter plan and reported paying an average of $650 for such remedies. I mean, it just seems to be a bummer that for all that investment, there's little ROI or return on investment. Among obese and overweight adults, some of the most common reasons for failure were trouble following through on the plan, about a third of us, knowing what food choices to make, but struggling to make healthier choices, another third. It's flour tortillas for me. I mean, that I tell you, I've been off flour tortillas for 6 months. And, you know, that is a disaster, I got to tell you, in and of itself. You know, can you imagine a Hispanic, a Mexican without flour tortillas? That makes for a cranky day sometimes. Feeling hungry all the time was about 30%. So how do you start the new year with better odds of dropping the pounds and achieving our long-term weight management goals? Well, here to help us out is Scott Cahan, Dr. Scott Cahan, director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness out of Washington, D.C. Dr. Cahan, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you on. You know, gosh, I'll tell you, you know, this has to be, I think, the number one resolution that people make is to lose weight. What do you think?
Oh, it absolutely is. Many studies show that that weight loss is the number one New Year's resolution. And as you mentioned, our survey showed that the majority of American adults have tried to lose weight as a New Year's resolution. On average, they've tried eight times, and it rarely succeeds. And there's a number of reasons for that. The first is that people tend to go into New Year's resolutions for weight loss in an arbitrary and sort of urgent way. And so they end up diving in without a plan, with unrealistic expectations, and so they're you know, it's doomed to fail before they've even started. They tend to follow a fad diet that they may have seen on TV or in a magazine. And fad diets, of course, are rarely based in science and are rarely very helpful beyond the claims that they make. And in general, people tend to follow one-off quick fixes. So they may start a diet program or they may start an exercise program, but we have very good data to show that when we can combine treatments together, it works better than either alone. So combining a diet program with an exercise program works better than either alone. Combining a self-help program with a medical program works better than either of those alone. So we want to be starting with thinking about those types of things.
So, you know, all that being said, let's start at the foundation. What is the first thing people should do?
The first thing I would do is to start with realistic expectations. We often tend to make these extreme weight loss goals which are typically unachievable. But we know that a 5 to 10% weight loss is both achievable for most people and leads to major health benefits. So, for example, we've shown that 7% weight loss decreases the risk of diabetes by 60%. So it doesn't mean that you can't lose more than 5 to 10%, but starting with that goal is realistic, it's achievable, and that alone leads to major health benefits. So that's the first and foremost thing that I would start with.
Well, and I like that you say 5 to 10% because most people, 5 to 10%, not that big a deal. That's manageable. We can, you know, bite that off, so to speak, a little chunk at a time. It's realistic. But as we've found before, Scott, is that once you start moving in that right direction, then, you know, the 5 or 10% goal almost becomes moot. It's a moot point. You know, we're just feeling better and, you know, lifestyle changes, everything seemed to follow, and it's all started with a realistic 5% perspective.
Exactly right. You know, very small changes in our lifestyle and our weight lead to such big improvements in health outcomes and the numbers, but especially in terms of how we feel and the limit things that have gotten in the way with the excess weight, you know, difficulty bending over, difficulty walking from here to there. Those things improve with these very small amounts of weight loss, and then that gives us more confidence to make even more changes and more improvements over time. So that's certainly where we want to start.
Now, what about the medical options for people that might be more in the obese range?
Yeah. So for people who have tried to lose weight and haven't been able to accomplish that, and or people who have really significant excess weight and health problems associated with their weight, there are a number of FDA-approved medications that can be very helpful for treating the obesity. So one of them, for example, is a medication called Qsymia. It has two medicines in it. One is a medication that decreases appetite, and the other is a medication that increases satiety or the feeling of fullness. And so it's particularly valuable because as people lose weight, our biology tends to get in the way. Our hunger hormones tend to go up, and our satiety hormones tend to go down. So that tends to make it the harder the longer we try to keep losing weight. And so in those cases, medication can be very helpful for appropriate patients.
Well, in the past, there's been things like Fen-Phen that have come along, and for some people, it has worked. But, you know, we need to be smart about this, don't we?
Well, absolutely. And keep in mind that Fen-Phen was not an FDA-approved medication. The medications that we have available today, Qsymia is one, and there's a number of others, they are FDA-approved, and they're FDA-approved for long-term management of obesity. So they're not quick fixes.
Exactly. About a minute left here, Scott. Explain to us the Smart Changes program and what makes it different.
Yeah, Smart Changes program is a very nice program because it combines behavioral weight loss tools with medical weight loss tools. The behavioral weight loss tool is the Mayo Clinic Diet Program, which is a very nice program. There's a number of tools and resources that are included, like meal planners and recipes and weight and habit trackers and so forth. And then there's also access to this Qsymia medication, which particularly, as I said, works well when it's combined with a behavioral set of strategies. So you can go to smartchangesprogram.com/newyear, and you'll learn more about the survey I mentioned and the Mayo Clinic program and the medication.
Well, Dr. Scott Kahan has been our guest, director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness in Washington, D.C. Hey, let's lose some weight. We'll do it together this new year, okay? And let's make sure this resolution works. Let's be smart about it. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
How important is it for you to take your medications at the right time of day? Very important, according to today's AARP health tip. More after this.
Looking to save money on Medicare Part D? Switch your prescriptions to Walgreens. With copays as low as $1, you could be looking at some real savings. And now you can preview the cost of your scripts before you fill with Walgreens' new Medicare prescription copay quote. And that's kind of a big deal. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Quote subject to change and available only for select Part D plans. $1 copay applies to Tier 1 generics.
Some drugs are best used in the morning. Others should be taken in the evening or right before going to bed. There's a science to timing drugs to achieve the greatest benefit with the lowest risk of unpleasant side effects. It's called drug chronotherapy. So never change the timing of your drugs without first discussing it with your doctor or pharmacist. For more, go to AARP.org.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold, or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug-out bag, and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code RADIO and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. fortressclothing.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional...
Something happening here.
We're back with you, America. Just about 26 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com. That is the address that you need to check out. Dr. Johns America is with us, senior editor of The Stream. Stream.org is where you want to go for more information on him. He's been a press secretary to pro-life Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, a reporter and editor at Success Magazine and Investors Business Daily, among other publications. He is the author or co-author of 6 books, including the most recent, The Race to Save Our Country. John, always good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How you doing? Happy New Year.
I'm fine, thank you. But the book is The Race to Save Our Century. I guess bio corrected there.
That is correct. Well, actually, I just read it wrong. It's my fault. It's The Race to Save Our Century. Exactly. And make sure you go to stream.org. Make sure we get that address. And I think I got that correct. So, John, I'm interested particularly about your most latest piece that was quite interesting. It definitely grabs your attention. 49% vegetarian, 51% cannibal. Democracy is not good, you say.
Well, it's not good in itself, as an absolute end in itself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that the Republican candidates are debating about. We saw the last debate that dealt with foreign policy. There was a really firm line in the strong line in the sand drawn between two strong factions in the Republican Party. I think you could broadly call them the neoconservatives on the one side and the realists on the other. The neoconservatives currently running include Jeb Bush, Marco Rubio, Chris Christie, and John Kasich. The realists would be Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, and Rand Paul. And to some degree, I think Ben Carson. Mm-hmm. And what they divide over is whether United States foreign policy should be focused on promoting democracy around the world or promoting America's foreign policy interests and looking out for the rights of minority groups in those countries. Now, a lot of people think, well, wouldn't democracy lead to the protection of minorities? Doesn't democracy mean freedom? They sort of blur those two concepts together in their heads. So in the article, I say, well, if you're going to say democracy is good, let's step back. Mm-hmm. Are guns good? Well, I think you'd say it depends on who's holding the gun, right?
Right, exactly, right.
Is home ownership a good thing? Well, generally it is, but, you know, the Bush administration and before it, the Clinton administration, they took home ownership and they said, oh, it's a good thing, so we have to make sure everyone becomes a homeowner.
Exactly.
We need to pressure the banks to offer more and more easy mortgages to Americans who don't have good credit ratings, who don't have good incomes, because if they become homeowners, they'll turn into responsible citizens. You can take people from, you know, a ghetto in a welfare housing, and you give them their own home, and they'll turn into the family from Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole banking crisis was the result. The multi-billion-dollar crash of huge Wall Street firms, people who see this new film, The Big Short.
Yes.
The whole chaos of our economy and the crash of 2008 were the result of the Clinton and Bush administration's false policy of thinking that if we make people into homeowners, they'll turn into responsible citizens. Well, the chaos in the Middle East, the deaths in Benghazi, the ethnic cleansing in Syria, the fact that a million Christians were driven out of Iraq while American soldiers occupied the country and George Bush was president. All that is a result of the neoconservative idea that democracy is a good thing in itself, and it's appropriate to every country, everywhere in the world, right now. And it's America's job to use our money and our soldiers to install democracy in every country on earth.
Do you think that some of that has been mollified as a result of the Bush Doctrine? Because I see that more as the Bush Doctrine. I'm not sure the Republican Party, the neoconservatives, really have their brain around that. I think they want to ratchet it back a little bit. Even Jeb Bush, you know, George Bush's brother, he seems to want to draw back and maybe draw from experience some wisdom and try to be a little bit more calculated and how they present this, because what's missing out of the conversation here, John, continuously, which drives me nuts, is the founding fathers understood that the Constitution and our way of life was predicated on a moral people. You take morals and values away, and you've got chaos. It's impossible for an America to exist the way the founding fathers had designed it. Without morals.
Right. But when we're looking at countries in the Middle East, it's even worse than that. Those people might have morals, but they're the morals of intolerant Islam. And so they think the moral thing to do is to persecute Christians.
Mm-hmm.
They think the moral thing to do is to capture Yazidi women and sell them as sex slaves, which is what ISIS does in accord with their reading of the Quran, because
right.
Muhammad did that. So I agree with you that in America, we need our moral core or else democracy will collapse. But in these countries, they never had the preconditions for democracy. In the article, I talk about an imaginary country. Let's call it Agrabah, which is the name of the country in the movie Aladdin.
Right.
And imagine that 49% of the population are peaceful, tolerant vegetarians. And 51% believe in cannibalism. Well, if you had a democratic election in that country of Agrabah, the 51% who came to power would eat the 49% who didn't come to power.
Exactly.
That's a very crude but I think clear illustration of the problem of pure democracy without constitutional, institutional protections for religious and ethnic minorities. And I'm not sure the Republicans have learned this lesson, not the Republican establishment, because during that debate you saw Marco Rubio say he would, and Chris Christie even more emphatically, they would be willing to risk a war with nuclear-armed Russia in order to protect the Islamist Syrian rebels who are aligned with al-Qaeda, who are trying to take over the country of Syria. Now, the government of Bashar Assad, the secular government of Assad that Russia supports, it commits human rights violations. It may have used chemical weapons. But why has it been so ruthless? Because the government of Syria currently is dominated by a religious minority, the Alawites,
right,
and it's allied with the Christians. These people are a minority, like the vegetarians in my scenario,
mm-hmm,
and they know that the majority of Sunni Muslims in Syria, if they came to power, would persecute them. They know that they would end up like the Christians who used to live in Iraq. They will end up either dead or huddling in miserable refugee camps. So they're fighting for their lives, and they're being ruthless about it. As I pointed out in the article, we were pretty ruthless fighting the Nazis and the Japanese. Ask the citizens of Hiroshima and Nagasaki how ruthless America was when we thought our liberties were in danger.
Right. Well,
so when Marco Rubio and Chris Christie want to confront Russia in order to bring Islamists to power in Syria so that they can persecute Christians, it seems to me that the Republican Party establishment has gone insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's what are you doing here? I mean, are you trying to project your perception of democracy on a people that really they just don't have the foundation in which to embrace these democratic principles?
That's right. I mean, remember Adolf Hitler, democratically elected. Hugo Chavez, democratically elected. In both cases, they use that majority power, they use that massive public support to persecute minorities, to steal the wealth, to hunt down their enemies. A lot of countries would be better off without a democracy. They would be better off with a minority regime, maybe a traditional monarchy. I frankly think we would have been better off in Afghanistan restoring the Afghan monarchy that had existed for centuries and kept stability. Instead, we put in the most unbelievably corrupt regime under the name of democracy, and it lost most of the country to the Taliban.
Exactly. Well, he is with Stream.org. We're talking about Dr. John Zemarek is with us, and we've got more from Dr. John on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Make a resolution for the new year and improve your health with exercise, a healthy diet, and plenty of water in 2016. Keeping your body hydrated is essential for your health. While tap water may look and smell clean, it may contain contaminants that are picked up on its journey to your faucet, which could be harmful to your health. Make sure your water is cleaner by using an at-home water filtration system, like Pure's Advanced Water Faucet Filter System, which can greatly improve the quality of your drinking water. Pure's faucet filter systems are certified to remove over 70 contaminants, including 99% of lead, 92% of pesticides, and 96% of mercury. The faucet filters last up to 3 months or 100 gallons of water and reduce 10 times more contaminants than the leading pitcher. Pure's faucet filter systems are easy to install and require no tools and start around $20, making filtering water at your home simple. Improve the quality of your water by filtering with Pure and raise a glass to your health and hydration this new year. For more information, visit Pure.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't take on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Are your Google search results killing you?
Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th, the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's the perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here with you. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, a conversation with Dr. John's America continues. Senior editor of The Stream, stream.org. For more information, he's the author or co-author of 6 books, including the recent The Race to Save Our Century. John, as you were saying before the break, you know, democracy without any kind of restraints can end up doing the exact opposite of its intention. And our founding fathers understood that. And this is why they wrote incessantly, as you write, that democracy can actually prove a danger to freedom and hence all the good things that follow from it, like virtue and happiness. That's why they created the undemocratic institutions such as the Constitution and the Electoral College. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Sure. If you remember, the founding fathers were terrified of democracy. Democracy for them was a pejorative word. They were warning. We don't want this to turn into a democracy. We want a republic. And the difference between those two things is a republic is accountable to the people, but it is governed by people whom the people select who are responsible as well as responsive, who follow their own consciences, who presumably are better educated than the ordinary person, and who have principles that will lead them to resist examples of irresponsible populism. I think Bernie Sanders and to some degree Donald Trump are examples of irresponsible populism. Mm-hmm. And America's elites have gotten so corrupt and so out of touch with ordinary people that ordinary people aren't listening to the elites anymore. Exactly. We don't have elites that anyone trusts. We don't listen to our party leadership because they seem to have betrayed us so many times, so we're willing to listen to irresponsible populists. And I think when the founding fathers, remember, originally restricted voting to people who own property, senators were not directly elected. They were appointed by state legislatures. The founding fathers purposely set up a system of government where it would be hard to do anything because they were afraid that a powerful government, like King George had in England, would trample all over ordinary people's freedoms and would, frankly, use the power of the state to redistribute the wealth, that the people with wealth would find their property taken by the masses who didn't have it in the form of taxation, and it would destroy the productive power of the economy and everyone's freedom to achieve and to attain wealth. And we see in Europe where 40, 50, 60, 70% of people's income is confiscated by the government before they even see it.
Exactly.
People like Barack Obama And Hillary Clinton want to turn America into a Western province of the European Union. And we have to go to the spirit of our founding fathers, who saw the danger of that and saw that that was a possible outcome of democracy. I think, frankly, it should be harder to vote. I mean, I think what they have in Iowa, the Iowa caucuses, where if you want to vote in the caucus, you have to go and hang out there all day and actually talk about your ideas and wait till the end of the day to cast your vote. I wish we had that for 50 states in the general election, so that only citizens who really cared enough to sacrifice a day of their lives to spend the time arguing with their fellow citizens, only those people would have a voice. I think we would have a lot more responsible politicians elected if you had to do that.
We definitely would have a smarter electorate, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I mean, how about this? We should offer people the chance. If you want to give up your right to vote, you don't have to do jury duty. I think a lot of people would opt out, and those are not the people you want voting.
Exactly. Well, I mean, this has been an argument that has been going on for a long time, John, is that we the people, which is the three most powerful words in the Constitution, I keep saying, but we have to exercise that goes along with it. And our founding fathers said, look, we're going to elect people. They're going to serve at our behest, not the other way around. But in order to maintain that power structure, we the people needed to be responsible to make sure, as you stated earlier, that our elected officials are responsive.
Right. They need to be responsive, but we also need the government to protect us from each other.
Mm-hmm.
But if you or I start a successful business and accumulate some wealth, we don't want the people who failed in business or the people who never got around to starting a business to be able to vote to have the government seize our pizzeria or our video store or our car dealership and redistribute the wealth among all the people who didn't work to produce it.
Exactly.
That's a fundamental thing.
Well, it just seems like in such a short period of time, we're talking a few decades here, John, that America finds itself at this tipping point that you're speaking of. How do we reverse this?
I think the most important thing is to get control of immigration, because we are letting in far too many people who grew up in cultures that have no notion of individual liberty, no notion of real property rights, who have no connection to our constitutional heritage, and our culture is not equipped to assimilate them. With multiculturalism dominating schools and bilingual education and churches endorsing multiculturalism, God knows my own Catholic church has endorsed it to a shameful degree.
Right.
All we're doing is flooding the welfare rolls and flooding the registration of the Democratic Party. I like the new expression for illegal immigrants, undocumented Democrats.
Yes.
I think that says it all. It's not just partisan politics. When you import people from a poor country that has a heritage of corrupt governments, they're not well equipped to become citizens of a virtuous republic that believes in freedom and limited government. I'm not saying there's anything individually wrong with those people. They're not of ill will. They're not inherently inferior or any of that. They're equal in the eyes of God, but they are influenced by the negative culture they come from. And our culture is not as strong as it was in the 1920s and 30s or when my ancestors came. My grandfather came in 1916 from the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Mm-hmm. He became a patriotic American supporter of democracy and worked his butt off, even though he never really learned English. There was not a welfare system for him to go on.
Right.
My father could not have grown up on food stamps and welfare and joined a street gang. Those things didn't exist. Those things are side effects of big government, and now the advocates of big government want to bring in more clients to the welfare system, more voters to the Democratic Party. So I would say immigration is the first, second, and third issue that should be of concern. The next issue should be foreign policy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remember how we got President Obama in two terms, and at one point having control of both houses of Congress, which allowed him to take control of the Supreme Court. It all happened because of the collapse of George Bush's foreign policy. People were so appalled by the failure of the Iraq War and its attempt to promote democracy, and we spent $1 trillion. They were also appalled by the result of that housing policy, which tried to make everyone into homeowners, which caused the financial crisis. Both examples of Republicans getting behind half-baked ideas that they borrowed from the Democrats and those ideas failing catastrophically. The result was the election of Obama, the appointment of the Supreme Court, the destruction of marriage, the threat to religious liberty. All of that can be seen as flowing from the utopian, grandiose ideas of the Bush administration. So I think the neoconservatives are the last people we should trust with the future of the Republican Party.
Well, and this has been the problem. Phyllis Schlafly has been saying this for a long time, going back to the early 60s, when she called out the Republican Party to be a clear choice and not an echo. But it seems that outside of Ronald Reagan, the Republican Party has moved more toward the Democrats than the other way around. And so people go, what's the difference between the Republican and the Democratic Party, to your point?
Yeah, what happens is you elect Republicans to Congress or the Senate, and they go to Washington, and they assimilate. They act like good immigrants. They assimilate to the new culture they're living in. They become liberals.
Right. No, that's it. I mean, it's all about the cocktail parties. It's about survival. It's not about doing the will of the people. As you say, they come in with this mindset, this elitist mindset, or maybe not necessarily start out that way, but they learn very quickly. If you're going to succeed in Washington, you better go along, to get along.
Yeah, and they're human beings. They want to be liked. They don't want to be spat at. Not everybody has the spine and the thick skin of Ted Cruz. Mm. Most people are more like Paul Ryan. They want to be liked. They want the Washington Post to write a nice piece about their wife's dress in the style section. They want to be invited to parties. They don't want to fight the hard, bitter, partisan fight that we need to wage against the likes of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, who want to close our churches, take our guns, and steal our property.
Exactly.
Those are not people I want to be at a cocktail party with.
Right. No, I agree with you. The 2016 election, here we are, $2 billion probably, after it's all said and done, will be spent just for the presidential office alone. What is your prospect here? What are you seeing?
Well, personally, and the stream does not endorse political candidates, personally, I'm hopeful that Donald Trump and Ben Carson will continue to fade, and that it comes down to a clear choice between Ted Cruz and one of the establishment candidates, either Christie or Rubio, probably. And I hope the Republican electorate looks to the record of the 8 years of the Bush administration and the results that it had, the successes and failures, and they decide, well, maybe the neoconservatives are not the wise Mandarins that they present themselves as being. Maybe they're kind of a bunch of utopian intellectuals with no experience in the real world who've never left the Washington-New York corridor and view us and our concerns as part of flyover country. They're willing to take our votes, but they're not actually interested in protecting our rights. We want someone who puts our rights, our constitutional rights, which is America's heritage, and puts them first.
Exactly.
In this sense, America first.
Really, exactly. I agree with you. Dr. Johns America has been with us, senior editor of The Stream. Stream.org is where you want to go for more information. His latest book, of course, is titled The Race to Save Our Century. Johns America, thank you so much for being with us.
Hi, this is Walt Augustinowicz. I'm the founder and CEO of ID Stronghold. By now you've heard our commercials about wallets that protect you from electronic pickpocketing. 10 years ago, I created a way to protect my own cards from prying eyes after government officials started talking about issuing a national ID card with a built-in radio chip called RFID. I felt having to broadcast my personal information was an invasion of privacy. Soon after, it was also announced that credit cards, debit cards, U.S. passports, hotel room keys, and even transit passes would all soon incorporate RFID. It was then I formed ID Stronghold to share my inventions in blocking RFID signals with the world. There are a lot of misconceptions out there today about RFID. I encourage everyone to get informed and get protected. Please go to idstronghold.com and get the facts and the wallet, sleeves, or badge holders you need to protect your personal financial data. You'll be pleasantly surprised that through our direct sales model, you won't pay more than other comparable unprotected wallets. It is as though the protection is free. Visit idstronghold.com today.